Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The German-Swiss duo with the unlikely name Grand Brothers draws on electronic dance music, ambient music, and minimalism. Their tagline is, "Messing around with grand pianos since 2012." And when they say messing around, they're not, you know, messing around. Grand Brothers take the sound of the piano, the notes of the keyboard, but also the sounds of the wooden case of the instrument or the winding on the strings, and process them to create the music you're about to hear. Errol Sarp is at our piano, Lucas Vogel is standing behind a mountain of electronics, and they're going to play first one of their older pieces called Blood Flow.
Thank you.
That is the duo known as Grand Brothers, live in our studio in a piece called Blood Flow. Lucas Vogel playing the electronics and Errol Zarp at our piano, although it might be fair to say that both Errol and Lucas were playing our piano from their respective parts of the room. Gentlemen, it's great to have you back on the show. First time in person. We did one of
finally.
These remotely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Blood Flow actually was the first piece of yours that I ever heard back in 2017, probably. And, you know, I just thought, I want to hear more of this. So great to have you here. Lucas, Errol is at our piano, but you are also kind of controlling things in the
piano.
Exactly.
In a way, I'm also like playing the piano. So this was the point about when we started back then, 2011. I'm also a pianist, but unfortunately, I'm not that good as Errol at the keys. So I had to come up with an idea of playing it kind of differently. I know. But we had this concept of just using the grand piano as a sound source. And so we wanted to get some other sounds than beside of the normal playing out of it. So I kind of invented this machine, consists of some hammers, like little things. They are over the strings or attached to the body, and they hit the strings and they can control them. So it's like a kind of a drum machine gets the piano for me.
Right. So you've got two metal bars strapped to our piano, and these little hammers are hanging down from those bars. And they, so what we just heard, for example, the percussion, the rhythm track, what's the sound source of that?
This is also like, especially this track, like Blood Flow, is kind of an old one. So at this point, we were really like also for the percussion only used these hammers hitting the wooden part of it.
Right,
like
the case. Yeah.
Exactly. And there are also like metal bars.
So inside the piano, the thing that looks like a harp that the strings are attached to is made of metal. And if you you hit that with the hammer, you get another sound.
You get another sound, or especially like this really high sound, it's kind of a screw somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are like different parts.
Errol, how unusual is it for you to sit at a piano and play it knowing that there's stuff happening inside the piano that you're not doing?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, I've become pretty familiar with it. Like, we've been doing it for over 10 years now, so I'm not that surprised anymore as I used to be when we started. but as Lucas said, it's about not just playing the piano in the normal way. So it's not just me sitting there and Lucas being next to me doing something like a DJ or like producer would do, just playing beats or percussive elements that are from drum sample libraries or something. But we want to have every sound that you hear on the record or like on a tune being produced by the piano in a way. Like after that, there can be a lot of processing.
Right.
For example, the bass drum in that track, or in general, the bass drums that you hear in our music, they are like also one technique would be to hit the soundboard of the piano, so the wood, like the very fragile wood, so you can't hit it that hard with your palm. It's recorded. It goes through Lucas effects, and then it can sound like basically like
almost anything.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So it could be that people think, we had the situations that people said, okay, guys, be serious. Like, what synthesizer are you using? And it's just, we aren't. It's just the piano with a lot of effects.
Yeah. Do you guys know Volker Bertelmann?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Who performs as Hauschka?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he has come in here and prepared our piano the quote-unquote normal way, which is like putting things on the strings, changes the sound. What you guys have done to our piano, I have never seen this before. I mean, it's like, so Lucas, you invented this this contraption, this machine that goes on the piano?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There were, during studies, we had a lot of time.
You guys met in university?
We met in university and started a project there. Yeah, I really loved to build stuff, and we went to the DIY store and bought like all the elements, and I built it all like out of things. Yeah, we just bought. In the end, I realized that the kind of main elements. They're called solenoid.
Right.
You can also buy them as industrial parts. But back then, in the very beginning, I didn't know that, so I just built them by my own.
So you reinvented the wheel,
kind of. I mean, yeah.
And Errol, the name Grand Brothers, you know, it sounds like it should be a word. It's not a real word. Somehow that seems to fit the way the two of you make music.
Yeah, I mean, it has the word grand in it, which, you know, is we wanted to have something where the grand piano is a part of the band name. So we have grand on the one side, and then it could have been grand friends or grand buddies. We decided to go with grand brothers.
Yeah.
And we often get asked by people like if we are real brothers, because maybe because of the dark hair and dark eyes, there might be some sort of resemblance, but like we are not real brothers, but we used to say like we are spiritual brothers, something like this. So we're really close connected. Like we've been friends for, I think, 15 years. I'm a godfather to one of Lucas' kids. So there's a like very strong connection between us. And I think brothers is a nice word to describe.
Yeah. And how much, Lucas, Errol was talking about how every sound ultimately comes from the piano. That's Blood Flow and the earlier albums. When we get to the next song, What We See, is there a progression in the technology by that point? Because this is now a couple of years later.
Exactly, yeah. There is, but not from the way like that we stick to the concept that everything is really has to be out of a piano sound, but we changed the concept in that way that in the beginning everything was just like happening in the moment.
Right.
So we were kind of like jamming the tracks together and all the kind of processing happened just in a moment.
Live, in real time.
Kind of live sampling and live processing. And for the second album, we started to also kind of produce, like we recorded some piano samples before and manipulated and kind of used them as a electronic musician, like a producer. So the songs got more complex, and that's what you heard like with the next track.
So let's hear another live performance from Grand Brothers. This piece is called What We See. Thank you. Once again, Grand Brothers live in the studio in a song called What We See. They have a new record out called Late Reflections, and they'll be playing a piece from that for us in just a moment or two. Really interesting story that we can talk about. But, Lucas, it seems like your job, you were talking about the change in sort of the technology between the first and the second record. So your job has sort of changed a little bit, because initially, like when you guys played Blood Flow, Errol had to start a split second before you so that you had something to work with, right?
Yeah.
But here, you were able to start because you had pre-recorded and pre-produced some of that material.
Exactly. That's the thing, yeah. And even now for live performances, I am able to play kind of the keys because we took the strings and bowed it with a kind of a really like a violin bow and processed
the strings
it.
Inside the instrument, the piano.
Inside of the piano, and then made kind of a sample instrument out of it, and I can play it with the keyboard.
So when you play, you have a small keyboard over there, and at the beginning of What We See, that was the sound you were getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And then Errol, of course, at our piano. And I have to say, I failed to mention this before, but for a split second when you guys started playing, I thought maybe our piano was on fire, because I was unprepared for the alarming sight of these solenoids. They make kind of a sparky, flashy light when they open, and they're inside the piano.
Yes, that has become part of our whole life setup, because it's always, we try to tell the people, so Lucas does some sort of explanation during the show what's going on. And then we thought it could help at least that there's some visual aspect to it. So as soon as these little hammers, these solenoids hit, there'll be a flash
of light.
Whenever they hit. And it's...
You might have prepared me for that.
Yeah. Yeah, setting the piano on fire might be the next step for the next Still Alive show.
Another interesting thing about that piece is, Lucas, it presents as a kind of four on the floor, you know, dance, but the rhythms are constantly shifting. Threes and fours, fives and sixes. I mean, how does the writing process work when you have one person at a quote-unquote normal instrument and then you behind that rack of gear?
Yeah, the writing process is like different ways we write. Like sometimes, I think this one in particular was that Errol came up with this piano line, which is now in the middle and in the end, I think. It's, I describe it's a little orientalic.
It's a bit like a very lyrical theme that has a bit of, because of the rhythm, sounds like it could be like from somewhere, like from... my father's from Turkey, so I'm pretty sure I didn't do it on purpose, but I'm pretty sure in some sort of subconsciousness there is some sort of music from there.
Right.
Me, so
earlier today, Errol, while we were setting up, you had a couple of moments where you're just at the piano and running your fingers up and down the keyboards, and it's pretty clear that you have jazz in your background.
Yeah, I do actually. Like in university, we had to have some sort of musical like lessons, and I think for both of us, it was jazz piano. And this was like, for me, it was like a great revelation, like because there's so much freedom in that kind of music. You know, there are some rules, but you can bring in your own personality and your own ideas. And this was what helped me shape my musical identity.
Well, and you can probably guess what my next question is going to be, is like, in this music where there is so much, you know, tied to the rhythm and the technology, how much room do you have for improvisation?
There is some, pieces that are based around some sort of improvisation. Of course, after having played these songs about 100 times or something, we know which things work best. So,
right.
So at some point, I always try to get to that idea that I had, 5 years ago, where I knew, okay, this is going to work, and I play around it. Most of the songs, especially like the one we heard before, with our music, we kind of go into this sort of electronic music, where it's not that much about improvisation anymore, but it's more about the, you know, for the audience, movable, like danceable effects.
And it's a good trick to make a piece that alternates rhythms like that feel like a dance piece, which it certainly does. So Lucas, let's talk about the new record called Late Reflections. You guys recorded this in Cologne, cathedral in Cologne, Germany.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Which is, they just celebrated, what, their 700th anniversary or something like that?
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a really old church and I think one of the biggest Gothic church in the world. So yeah, it was a crazy honor to be able to also play a concert there. Then yeah, we came up with writing music especially for this place because it's so like different to other places. Like they there is a 13-second reverb in there, so we had to kind of adapt to that.
Yeah,
and it was a really nice journey for us because until then we never really thought about reverb as a tool to really like be inspired or like to be creative with it. And there, yeah, we kind of had to. And so, yeah, we even could go there like 5 nights and record the album there. So it was magical. Like hear all the noises from outside because like the Cologne Cathedral is really literally in the middle of the city, just right beside the train station. And so you could hear all these noises from outside and you were in this safe place once it even like kind of heavy rain going on. And we also kind of captured that also by coincidence sometimes during a recording. It just started to rain or we had a train noise from outside and we kind of used that in the album. So, yeah, it was a magical experience.
I mean, the opening seconds of the album are just the cathedral.
Yeah.
Before either of you start playing, you just hear this kind of
and there was
wash
the rain.
Of sound.
Yeah, there was the rain in the beginning.
When you're in a space that's that reverberant, I mean, it can be magical, but it presents practical challenges, especially if you're doing rhythmic music. That quickly turns into soup in a 13-second reverb.
Yes.
So, and yet you somehow managed to do that. How?
So we kind of produced stuff before and went in there and like the piano, we totally kind of recorded in there, but all the electronic sounds, which are also like piano sounds,
right,
just to mention that.
Yes,
but
yes.
It was just like the kind of electronic manipulated sounds. We produced them before and kind of some of them we played back in the room, kind of reamping it's called, and recorded it again, but not with every sound. So
right.
There were like bass drums or bass tracks, which are not happening in the room. So we were really freely to work with it. So and this was the way we did it. Yeah.
So we're actually getting two acoustic environments. We're getting the two of you in Cologne Cathedral, and we're also getting the cleaner studio sound with some of the rhythmic tracks.
Exactly. It's a mix. It's a mix out of it. So we had to deal with it during the concert. So we had to play it there. But there we kind of had a really good sound system in there that the audience was really near to the loudspeakers, and we could kind of work there with this problem that way. So yeah,
well the resulting album is called Late Reflections, which that's an acoustic term, right?
It is the
later reflections are the more diffuse,
exactly, yeah, yeah.
Nebulous
side of the
ones.
Early reflections,
yeah, they create the magic of the whole thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so Bloom, the track you're about to play, Errol, is one of the pieces that you wrote specifically during these late night sessions in the cathedral, right?
Yes, it is. And one good thing that we did, like before we even started to compose for that room, was that we were able to get an impulse response, which means like you can kind of, you know, recreate the reverb of that room in your studio.
Right.
So you
measure it and then
There's some technical, like it's pretty easy actually. It sounds very like. But it's you can do it, like just need to have the right tools. And we had that in studio, and that has helped a lot because obviously we couldn't have gone there to write the album, which, I mean,
in 5 nights, right?
Yeah. So we had that at home, and that just did so much. Like it helped so much to write this thing. So we could also during the composing process, we could decide which elements we want to put through the room. Like we have on this track again, we have like a bass drum that's slower. Like it's a 4-on-4 to the floor bass drum, but in general, the whole like tempo has been shifted down a lot because of the soup you mentioned.
Yes.
So we had to be careful with that. We said, okay, the bass drum, we wanted to do that originally, but once we heard like what the bass drum would do to the room, we just said this doesn't make any sense musically.
Right.
We would have to take out other elements, or I mean, in the end, it could have been just a bass drum solo for 5 minutes, but that wouldn't have been something to, you know, too nice to listen to.
That wouldn't be your encore during your...
No, not really. We have to use the... there has to be something with the piano. You know, there has to be at least one note being played.
Okay. Got to keep Errol happy.
Yes,
has to have exactly. Something to do with the piano.
Exactly.
All right, let's... Grand Brothers are with us here in the studio. Let's hear a live performance of Bloom.
Thank you.
Once again, live performance in our studio from the duo Grand Brothers. That piece is called Bloom, and you'll find a version of it on their most recent album called Late Reflections, which is the record that they made in the course of 5 overnight sessions in the historic Köln or Cologne Cathedral in Germany. And Errol, what was the concert actually like when you finally got to play there?
I think that was like, for me, and I think I speak for the both of us, it was like the most frightening thing in our lives.
I did not see that word coming.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, oh, it was the most wonderful,
memorable. It was amazing. It was wonderful. But it was also like we were really, really, the one night, I think 2 nights before that, like when we returned from rehearsals that we did somewhere else, we came into the room and saw that everything was like being set up. Like we had a lot of lights because there's nothing in there, right? So right. They had to be brought in a PA, a lot of lights. Like we said, okay, we're going to do this once in our lives, so let's make this like crazy huge with everything. We knew that there would be about 2,000 people in there, and we knew that like weeks and months before we decided, or like we agreed on everything. We said, okay, let's bring in a TV, the crew. Let's have 9 cameras in there, and everything felt really good. But like the night it happened, it was like, okay, so this is going to be taped. We can't do any retakes. It just has to be, everything has to be perfect, which I'm pretty sure it wasn't. But I mean, yeah, after, you can imagine, like after this was over, we felt quite, you know, happy that it worked how it worked. And then also, yeah, it was like just one of the best experiences also.
And Lucas, for people who weren't there, you can actually watch it online, right? I mean, as Errol says, there were cameras.
Exactly, yeah. Like it was Arte who was recording it and broadcasted it even in TV.
Oh, it was broadcast?
It was not live broadcasted. It was broadcasted some months later. But it ran into TV, and now it's online on YouTube. And yeah.
Well, and of course there is the record, Late Reflections. And we have, as I mentioned earlier, done one of these soundcheck sessions previously during the pandemic remotely, but there's nothing like being in a room with you guys and watching how you make this music. It's just been ear-opening, eye-opening, great stuff. Thank you both for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And thanks also to our crew, technical director Irene Trudell, our producer is Karen Havlick. Our video shot today by Joe Enright. Our video editor is Eric Weber. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Just text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org.